You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Okay, let's UFC, baby.
Let's UFC. Ready?
Yeah.
This is
Fight Disciples.
Welcome to podcast number 442. We are the Fight Disciples, and this one's dedicated to the world of UFC. Bit of Bellator as well coming up, because Gegard Mousasi and Douglas Lima had a little bit of a midweek tangle. We'll get to that in a minute. But if it's the first time you've ever come across us, you can get us on iTunes. Fight Disciples is what you're looking for. And you can also get us on our website, fightdisciples.com. That's where all our social media is. That's where all our links are for Android feeds if you're not on Apple. And you can also get the keys to the shop there, because we do sell beer. That's right. We talk about fights and we sell you ale. Proper Tackle is available now. There's a link on the website. Get yourself in there. Get yourself stocked up for all the big fights that are coming up, and stock up for Christmas. We want to be tagged in your Christmas dinners for one, seeing as that it's locked down here in the UK. Christmas dinners for one, we are Proper Tackle. That's what we want you to get involved with, all right? So get to our website, fightdisciples.com. With it being locked down in the UK, obviously, you'll be taking a trip to the barbers this week, won't you? Or are you going to let it grow like another bush?
I might have to let it grow. I think my barber's at the gym, you see, and the gym's shut.
All right.
So you, I don't know whether
the barber's is in the gym.
Yes.
Eh?
My barber's is based in the gym that I go to.
So how does that work? How is a barber in a gym? Well, you're on the treadmill doing your thing, and he comes around and gives you a little bit of short back and sexy.
That's it, exactly that. So with the gym being shut, I think he's shut. I think he might be open today, but he was busy. So I'm gonna have to grow the old locks out again, I'm afraid.
Yeah,
be the full wig by Christmas.
Yeah, have you seen that the lovely lads at BT Sport? I know you're listening, boys. They've thought to themselves, we need to make some more content this week. What shall we do? Let's have a look what the Fight Disciples are talking about. Whoa, let's do that. So for anybody that's watched our YouTube channel recently, where we've been talking about the lightweight division, Habib retiring or not retiring, as Dana was saying at the weekend, and the GOAT chat, that's now going to be remade this week for BT Sport, and we'll stick it on their channel as well.
Thing is, though, Dan Hardy will bring a bit of sense to it,
a bit of perspective. Absolutely. But what I want to know is, do we get to invoice twice, once as producer and once as presenter, seeing as that we created it?
Well, as the talent, I always invoice twice anyway.
Do you?
That's just the way it is.
That's the way it is. Double bubble for the talent. Absolutely. speaking of the talent, because I've no doubt that we're going to be making a video on this guy in the not-too-distant future, Anderson Silva. Last fight in the UFC. Categorically, because Dana's come out and he said, listen, man, if he wants to carry on doing mixed martial arts, that's up to him. And I fully anticipate Anderson Silva will continue as a mixed martial artist. I think we will see him doing it in another franchise, but it's nice, or should I say, it's good to hear Dana taking ownership of the situation, because we've been here many, many times with legends, haven't we? Guys that have given us so much to the franchise as champions, that they just go on for too long. And watching that at the weekend, it was evident that Anderson Silva is a shadow of his former self. That's not the same guy that absolutely mowed out the middleweight division. And it was a little bit upsetting, actually, to watch. I found it weird. It wasn't a fight for me. It was just, I just wanted to give everybody a cuddle. You know what I mean? And just say, listen, man, let's just let this go. Let's go on.
It's sad to see, isn't it? But unfortunately, that's just the reality of life, man. The guy's fucking older than me. He's 45 years of age. You can't just keep going forever. This is professional sport at the highest level. And what Anderson Silva did during his pomp, during his middleweight reign, you know, there was a period in time there when he was the greatest mixed martial artist of all time. Everyone agreed with it. And, you know, fighters may have surpassed them now. And, unfortunately, you become a victim of your own record. You know, it's same. And I compared him to Roy Jones Jr. on Twitter. So similar. When Roy Jones Jr. was at the pomp, the peak of his career, he was fucking untouchable, man. Guy would play a full game of basketball before defending his multiple world titles and hardly break a sweat against top contenders. And Anderson Silva was doing the same thing, you know, around the late noughties into 2010, 2011, around that period. Anderson Silva was absolutely fucking phenomenal, untouchable, the greatest mixed martial artist in the sport. But just like Roy Jones, you stick around a little bit too long. You know, it's, what's he won? One of his last 10 fights? Or, you know, Nick Diaz, they were both busted for drugs for that. But take that fight out of there. But he's still, there's only the win over Derek Brunson when Derek Brunson just fucking stood there and went, Anderson Silva, and froze in the headlights. Mm. Everybody else has beat him. And, you know, you can't, 45 years of age, you can see it with Anderson Silva as well, because he's not changed his style. He still tries to fight like Anderson Silva. You know, he still tries to be that elusive counter striker, slipping, ducking, moving. The problem is now, the brain's willing, but the body isn't.
Yeah.
He used the shots that he's getting hit with by Uriah Hall. They're the shots that he would slip out of last time. During the peak, 10 years ago, at the peak of his powers, they're the shots he would go bang, bang, slip his chin out the way, slip, move to the left, bang, bang. He's 45.
Hmm.
His reactions have slowed down. It's just human nature.
It's mad that his legacy in the UFC only started at 31. He only joined at 31. Obviously, he was in other franchises previous to that. But for what he achieved in that period of time from 31, through to 38, was fucking unreal, man. Absolutely. Even as a 38-year-old, you're looking at yourself thinking, I'm just a touch older than that. And I'm thinking to myself, fuck me, man, that's pretty special. And he's, like you said, we're 7 years further on now. He's 45 years of age. 7 years ago, Uriah Hall doesn't get anywhere near him. Doesn't get anywhere near him. But that's not the case now. And it was a bit upsetting to watch, really.
Yeah, it was upsetting to watch. And listen, you know, don't look at, like Roy Jones, don't look at Anderson Silva from the last 6, 7, 8 years. Go back and look at peak Anderson Silva. Go back and look at Anderson Silva, you know, when he fought Forrest Griffin, Dan Henderson, you know, the Rich Franklin fights. Even like, we were lucky in the UK that we got him over here. He fought in Cage Rage. He was the Cage Rage champion, because even though he was a standout member of Shooterbox, they had a big falling out with the Brazilians, and he basically got banned from fighting in Pride. So that's, which is why he ended up over in the UK at a stage where most people at that period were defining their careers in Pride. He was here fighting on Cage Rage. So when he moved into the UFC, it became a little bit more of like a shock to UFC fans, because he came from fighting in England rather than fighting in Japan, which is the most of the guys came from. And like that Tony Freakland reverse elbow, one of the fucking most astounding moves. And that was Anderson Silva all over, man. For a decade, Anderson Silva was the guy in the octagon doing things that no one else could do, performing like Matrix-style ninja shit that everyone was going, holy fuck. You know, and he inspired a true generation of mixed martial artists. A true generation of mixed martial artists were inspired because of watching Anderson Silva, one of which was Uriah Hall, fucking Israel Adesanya. You name it. There's not a fighter in the UFC today that you could say never watched Anderson Silva and went, fuck, I want to be that guy. So, listen, it happens to everybody. And I just hope, for Anderson's sake, and I think that's what Dana was getting at. It was like, he'll never fight in the UFC again. But he has got one fight left on his contract, and Dana will try and tie him up with that, because Anderson clearly wants to keep fighting. He couldn't even admit at the end of this fight, that's it, I'm done. He went, yeah, that's probably my last fight. And he did the prayer in the octagon, all that, great. But when he gets home, in, you know, 6 months' time, probably even less, and he's itching to go training again, you know other promotions will be whispering in his ear. You know fucking Bellator would absolutely give him the fucking percentage of their business to have Anderson Silva in the main event. So the opportunities are going to be there. I just hope the UFC are able to tie him up and just go, listen, man, why don't you just become like a spokesperson for us? Why don't we give you a job? Like they have done previously with Big Nog and Dan Hardy and, you know, so many other guys. Chuck Liddell for a spell. Let's go, listen, man, we're going to bang you on the payroll. Just while you ease out, and we're going to have you come around and do this and do this and, you know, help move the sport forward even further and different. They need to do something to keep them from competing, because I don't want to see Anderson Silva do that. But unfortunately, there are fighters, there are fans, and there are certainly promoters that will keep putting this guy out, like we did with Muhammad Ali. They will keep putting this guy out and rolling him out just for the financial benefit. When Anderson Silva, as we knew him, is gone, never to be retained again.
Well, we did a video recently, didn't we, for BT? Greatest Brazilians of all time. Don't want to wreck it for anybody, but he was number one. So go and have a little bit of a look. Go and have a look, because some of the joy that he has provided for mixed martial arts fans and UFC fans down the years is unparalleled. Go and have a little bit of a look at, like Nick just said, at some of those stellar fights from yesteryear. But the artist, formerly known as Anderson Silva, is a done.
Gutted. Never got to see him win. Never ever got to see him win live.
Yeah. That's a thought. That's a thought, yeah.
I never got to see him win live. Devastating. If you'd have said that to me, you know, fucking 10 years ago, you're now going to be following UFC for the next decade.
Anderson Silva will still be in it. Anderson Silva will still be fighting.
And you'll be covering it, but you'll never see him win. I'd be like, what? So I'm never going to be at an Anderson Silva fight then? No, wow, fucking hell, that's amazing. To now think for the last decade, he's not been able to win. And I've sat there so many times and gone, please let him turn back the clock tonight. Let me see vintage Anderson tonight. I'm like his bad penny, I think.
Shall we talk about Bryce Mitchell and his camo shorts? Well done. He's becoming a bit of a superstar himself, isn't he? And his grappling is a real problem for anybody in this division. The geezer is just like a fucking backpack, isn't he? Just all over him. You think to yourself, how do you shrug that off? And don't get me wrong, Andre Feely, his jiu-jitsu is legit. His grappling is legit. And some of the defensive moves that he was portraying in the octagon during this fight, you thought to yourself, yep, right, wicked. But then as soon as he'd do that and get himself out of a situation, he was getting smothered again. I'm thinking, oh, for fuck's sake. Bryce Mitchell's legit, man. It's going to be interesting to see how far this kid goes.
It is going to be interesting to see how far it goes, because he's certainly got the support of the UFC, you know, the whole camo shorts and all that. Yeah. I was telling you about that advert that he did for local used car dealership, which was fucking hilarious. So he's in, man. Dana loves him. He's going to get big opportunities and he's going to get in the quick, and he should do, man. I thought this was going to be a step too far. I thought Feely just had too much experience for him and was far too capable on the ground for Bryce Mitchell to be able to do what he does. But Blue, put that down. but man, he wiped my eye. I thought he won every round. I thought Bryce Mitchell was absolutely phenomenal. Phenomenal against a very good Andre Feely, I should say. And the world's his oyster. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how far this kid could go. I like him. You know, he's a proper little redneck, isn't he? You know, he is what he is. You know,
he's Cotton Eye Joe, mate. That's what he is.
Oh, mate, he's absolutely Cotton Eye Joe. But he doesn't train with a big team. Trains with his own team in his hometown. I love it, man. I love everything. It's what you're here for, innit? You love these success stories that come from left field. And you're, where the fuck did that guy come from? He's fucking incredibly good at what he does.
Just moving on from Bryce Mitchell, at the end of the year, when we're doing our awards, it's going to be a weird year to score in it, because obviously the pandemic and what have you, fighter of the year, knockout of the year, and all these types of things are probably going to be at the forefront of the majority of people's minds. But then when we actually look at breakout fighter of the year, the person that's maybe grabbed the attention that we didn't know too much about 12 months ago, Kevin Holland's got to be in that conversation. Because this dude, right, 12 months ago, he's just ticking along. You know, you see him on the card, yeah, all right, you're in, but you're not getting overly excited about what he was doing. This is a guy that has absolutely grabbed the pandemic by its bollocks and gone, do you know something? I'm going to use this as an opportunity. I am going to put my face all over the place. And what's he had now? Four fights during this pandemic period? One or more.
Three finishes, two performance bonuses.
Mate, he has been absolutely mustard. Kevin Holland, this is how you do it. And we talk about it on the show all the time, don't we, about guys taking control of their own careers, making themselves relevant, making fans asked about them. Like I said, 12 months ago, knew who Kevin Holland was, but he was just ticking along. He's not somebody that I was going to bang the drum for. Now, all of a sudden, I'm like going, yeah, man, I'm in on the Kevin Holland train just because of his attitude towards fighting during this period of time. He's taken those opportunities. He's run with them. And look at him now. 4-0 during the pandemic, looking mint.
Yeah. One of those wins as well was a knockout over Joaquin Buckley.
Yeah.
Who, of course, has stole the headlines during the pandemic for that incredible knockout. That knockout as well, by the way. Obviously, we went crazy. We were in quarantine for it, but catching up with my dad at the weekend for a belated 70th birthday drink, that was the first thing, one of the first things my dad said.
Did he? Like,
how did that Buckley guy do that? How did he do that knockout? Like, how does that even work scientifically? How did he spin the way he did and get the power to knock? I was like, I don't know, Dad. That was why it was so fucking cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know how he did it. That's why it was so amazing. But you're right, man. In terms of Kevin Holland, he's shortlisted, didn't he? He's on that Chimaev shortlist of the fighters who broke through in 2020.
Yeah, I'll tell you what I'd like. Give him a full camp now. No more short notice fights, yeah? Give him a full camp against the top 15. I think he's earned it. He's earned it. Yeah. He's earned that opportunity now to go and get himself ranked, hasn't he?
Yeah, he absolutely has, yeah. 100%.
What else caught your eye from the card at the weekend?
The Alex Hernandez knockout of Chris Gutschmeicher as well in first round. Ooh, baby! Oh, yeah.
We've been around fight weeks where Alex Hernandez, mainly at the back end of last year, we were over obviously covering loads of fights last year, New York, Vegas and what have you, and Hernandez was around, wasn't he? And Dan Hardy's a big fan of his, and we were off the back of speaking to Dan about this guy, starting to pay a lot more attention to him, and there's been this hype, hasn't there? About Alex, is he going to go on? Is he not going to go on? And what have you? And it's been a bit stop-start rollercoaster. I think that's a fair assessment, isn't it? It's not kicked off as we anticipated it to kick off. But fucking hell, you do that at the weekend, mate. People are going to start talking, aren't they? You know what I mean? This guy is the guy that people have been telling me about. The one that we saw at the weekend.
Yeah, listen. He run into Donald Cerrone, who turned back the clock and put in a vintage performance. And then he lost again, didn't he, to earlier this year to Drew Dober.
Yeah.
When they get caught again. So, you know, he's obviously got whiskers. He can be hurt. But performances like this, stoppages like this is the reason why people are getting super excited about Hernandez. And I think he could actually do something in this lightweight division. Likewise, I think, for me, I thought Sean Strickland looked brilliant as well. I thought that was a big performance against Jack Marshman. That was a fun fight, by the way.
Yeah.
You know, Jack Marshman's not like the best runner in the UFC, and I'd be concerned for him looking at his whenever the phone rings at the moment. But you know what? He's game as fuck. He never stopped walking forward. He never stopped throwing shots. I think, you know, missing weight's not a good look from once again, Jack Just Marshman, as well as losing. That can't be good. But that fight with Strickland was fun, man. Strickland's obviously talking to him all the way through, fucking goading him, saying, come on now, let's have it. Let's have it right now. Let's have it. Let's trade right now, Jack. Let's go. And in the end, he was going, why won't you go down, Jack? Why won't you go down, Jack? And he's hitting him with big shots and Marshman's just plowing forward like the fucking mad paratrooper that he is. That was a fun fight. But Strickland motivated, fit, active. Don't forget, his career nearly ended with a car crash.
Yeah.
Strickland motivated. Could go on a good run at 185.
Mm.
Big dude.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The post-fight press conference was interesting, wasn't it? Dana getting on the mic, obviously fresh after his little trip to Abu Dhabi. Let's do light heavyweights first, shall we? Because there's loads of back and forth there about what's going on with this division, and obviously Izzy in middleweight. Dana just fucking drops the bomb. Yeah, Izzy's next fight is going to be against Jan Blachowicz for the light heavyweight title. There you go. See you in a bit. And he kind of threw Robert Whittaker under the bus a bit, didn't he? Robert Whittaker in Abu Dhabi has come to terms with him just enjoying his mixed martial arts career. He's not here for calling people out. He's been champ. His conversation with me after a, excuse me, after a fantastic victory against Jared Cannonier was, it's inevitable that my next fight is the title. It's inevitable. It's inevitable. So I think we left Abu Dhabi going, well, that's where we're going now. Izzy and Robert Whittaker are going to get it on, and that'll be massive for the Australasian and New Zealand market worldwide as well, but more so down there. So for us to be 7 days later now, to be in a situation where Dana White goes, Robert Whittaker don't want it. well, that's not what I took away from that conversation. Yeah, all right, he wasn't mouthy. No. Yeah, all right, he didn't say a name. Yeah, all right, he's not being overly vocal about the fight. But I think he wants it. For Dana to come out and say that Robert Whittaker doesn't want that fight, and now that Izzy, we're going to allow Izzy to do the light heavyweight thing, I think is it's a fork in the road that I didn't see coming. Not in that short period of time, anyway. I knew we'd go there eventually with Izzy, but I didn't think we'd be doing it next.
No, neither did I. Because I think where Dana's point of view is, it's hard to sell anybody else at middleweight for Adesanya now.
Mm.
Because Whittaker's just smashed Cannonier.
Yeah.
And Cannonier was supposed to be the guy. So now Whittaker's clearly the guy. There's no other argument. Even if Till was fighting Hermanson this weekend and put in a massive performance.
There's still Whittaker in it.
Till lost to Whittaker. So that you can't sell Till really as the next opponent either. Or Hermanson for that matter. So there's no disputing it. It's got to be Whittaker next. And Whittaker, you're right. He never said he didn't want to fight. But what Whittaker did say was, listen, man, Whittaker's in a happy place now because he's got his work and life balance back. He's just had another baby. And in his mind, he's like, right, win this fight against Cannonier on Fight Island. I'm going to have 3 months off. I'm going to enjoy Christmas with my young family. And then I'll think about fighting again. And then I'll get back on the horse for spring next year. The fight will be there in spring. That ain't going to change. No one ahead of Whittaker. And he's taking it all in his own. He's taking control of his own life and his own career. Going, yeah, man, sounds. I'm the number one guy now. Fight's going to be there for me. It'll be there on my fucking terms when I am mentally in a place where I want to be.
Correct.
I've just done a camp. I've just beat the top guy. Now I'm going to go back to family time. I'm going to go back to Daddy Bobby Knuckles. I'm going to put all my focus into being Daddy Bobby Knuckles. And that's why in the post-fight when people said, what if the UFC offer it right now? And Bobby went, listen, man.
I'm having Christmas off.
My corner team would have a tough time trying to persuade me to go back into camp now. And he made it clear. I've got no intention of going back into camp now. UFC don't want to do that. And Adesanya doesn't want to do that. Adesanya wants to be busy. Yeah. Adesanya wants to fight. He fought in September. He's not going to want to wait until April or May to fight Bobby Knuckles on Bobby Knuckles' terms. So I think the UFC have done the right decision.
Is he already in Vegas, man? This is exactly. It. I mean, he went out there to corner his mate at the weekend, didn't he? I think he's only had 10 days. 10 days out of quarantine and all the mad shit that is going on in the world right now. He had 10 days out to be able to see friends and family, and then he flew fucking straight back out to Vegas.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if we're seeing Izzy January, mid-Feb, those cards against Jan Blachowicz. Yeah. Mate, that is... And again, what an opportunity for him. We've been talking about GOATs, haven't we? We've been talking about the greatest of all time, the pound-for-pound best and all this type of stuff. Multi-weight world champions is a thing. Simultaneous world champions in the modern era of the mixed martial artists is a thing. And I think you've got to tick that box in order to enter the conversation of legacy-defining moments, haven't you? And for Israel Adesanya to get the opportunity to fight Jan Blachowicz, listen, it's not an easy fight. Jan's fucking Polish power. It's a great fight, though, mate. Everybody's fucking zoned in. And then what it does, if Izzy can pull it off, the narrative of John Jones just kicks straight back up in the sky again, doesn't it? Is John going heavyweight or does he want to come back down and have a dance with the light heavyweight champion? Because the light heavyweight champion don't fucking like you, mate, and he's ready to go. You know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the only reason John Jones does come back to light heavyweight is because Adesanya's won the title. And I think it'll definitely happen January 23rd. I think January 23rd will be Adesanya for the light heavyweight title.
Ooh, what about
Vegas,
Conor?
UFC
that's Conor's
257.
There. That's Conor's there. What are you doing? Are you saying that Conor Dustin Poirier is not happening?
I think Conor Dustin Poirier will go a little bit later in the year now. I think that'll get pushed back because the whole lightweight belt's still up in the air. The whole Trump thing, we don't get a decision on the Trump-Biden thing until tomorrow. I think a lot of that's going to come into play in terms of... Because I think, as much as they won't agree, Conor needs fans.
Yeah.
Conor needs fans. They need to sell out the stadium.
You saw the boxing at the weekend. They had fans in Texas.
But all that could change tomorrow. All that could change tomorrow, depending on who's the president on Wednesday morning. I truly believe that would change because the different views on COVID and how to handle it with those two fucking candidates is ridiculous. I don't want to get into that bullshit, but...
Yeah, but it affects our sport. It affects us because, like you said, travel in and out of America for fighters, not just us as guys that cover it, but also for fans that want to attend events. At the weekend in Texas, for those that don't know, the boxing event between Gervonta Davis and Leo Santa Cruz, which we speak about on our boxing show, had fans in attendance. That is a stat, of course, that Connor's familiar with his relationship with the Dallas guys there. Mm-hmm. And there would be an opportunity, you would think, to put an event on with fans in attendance. You're right. Conor McGregor doesn't fight behind closed doors. Let's not fuck about. It's not happening behind closed doors.
No, absolutely not. So I think that that January 23rd date could well be Adesanya for the light heavyweight title. He doesn't want to dick him out, man. He doesn't want to wait around. And Blachowicz will fancy it because Blachowicz will know it's the biggest fight out there in terms of making him a bigger star.
What a big fight for him. I mean, we've just been speaking about the light heavyweight division and it being in that state of flux. There's so many contenders, isn't there? I mean, we've got a great fight this weekend between Thiago Santos and Glover Teixeira, which will probably become the number one contender off the back of that, yeah? But there's so many names. I saw that Dominic Reyes is fighting Prozicka. You've got Johnny Walker still probably in the mix a little bit. All these guys, you know, it's all over the place. So, but when it comes to stellar names, Blachowicz, you look around, where's the money? I'm the champ now, where's the money? The money's Israel Adesanya. Fucking sound, man.
Of course.
Go and get it.
100%. 100%. So I don't think they'll wait around for it anyway. I think also, the whole Conor thing.
I think
now,
it'll be Feb. Connor's fighting January 23rd, man. It's happening. I'm telling you now, happening. I reckon you're going to get Izzy in Feb.
Because we need to do that lightweight tournament as well. We need to do that whole eight-man lightweight tournament that we were pitching.
That one that we're going to put on BT Sport this week, so everybody else is going to get to see it. Yeah, yeah.
We need to do an eight-man lightweight tournament. Connor can be seeded number one if he likes, but we are doing an eight-man tournament for that lightweight belt.
Yeah, man. Exciting times. Especially for Israel Adesanya, fans, we're talking superstar status now. This is where we go. Yeah. Get on the train. If you're not on the train already, get on it because some good shit is ahead. Great fight that Dana White confirmed at the weekend. He also then started talking about Khabib Nurmagomedov. Now, on last week's show, yes, all right, we'd had a few tins, haven't we, on our way back home. But we basically said, this is a man of his word. If Khabib has said that it's done, it's over, this is no more for me, I'm finishing at 29-0, then I believe him. Out of all the fighters that you see calling time on the career and retiring and what have you, there's always an inkling in the back of the mind that at some point we're going to see them in the future.
Yeah.
We might see Khabib in the future, but not in the immediate future. I can't see that in 12 months, not even 2 years. I can't see it. I really can't. But Dana's got a better relationship. A very close relationship with Khabib. Of course he has. He's obviously spoken to him because he knows how big of an asset he is to the UFC and he'll be going all out in order to get him back in the octagon and try and get him something that stimulates him. And for him to say, listen, Khabib's talking to his mum, that's a big key thing. That, you know, he's made a promise to his mum.
I wonder if to try and cajole him, just like
send
Mark
us some flowers
from BT sent our wives a bunch of flowers when we were away to say, thank you for lending us your husband to do open mat in Fight Island. There's a bunch of flowers. I wonder how big the bunch of flowers Dana sent to Khabib's mum was. Please let him fight again. Please let him fight. Here's a bunch of flowers. I love it. Good old Mark.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting, man, because... There's so much there for him, isn't there? There's so much for Khabib. And I think a lot of...
Does he need it?
No, I don't know. I don't know if he does. The multi-weight thing.
Listen, the thing with Khabib is he's not motivated by money.
No.
He's not motivated by fame. He's not motivated by the belt. He was clearly motivated to be ranked pound for pound number one. That's purely because of competition. He wants his dad... And his dad's memory to be commemorated by the fact that his son, in that same period, was named as the greatest fighter on the planet, pound for pound, period. Done that, now tick that box. He's appeased that. And right now, Khabib will be sitting with his mum, having a cup of tea, chilling out, going, you know what?
That's amazing, I did it, mum. That they're having a cup of tea.
Yorkshire, cup of Yorkshire tea, obviously, proper tea. The
couple
best
of
tea.
Digestives. He's there just enjoying it. I did it, mum.
We've got Yorkshire Christmas tea bags here. Oh, yeah. Game changer. Fucking game changer. You've got to try and get some. Right. I'm not saying he was drinking Christmas tea, but he's probably drinking Yorkshire tea, maybe a Twinings because he's got a few quid. And he's sitting with his mum and he's saying, Mum, job done. Job done. That's what I said. You know, we were going to get to 30-0, but we're not worried about that now. Obviously, dad's legacy is assured. He made me the greatest fighter on the planet. We've done it, man. We've done it. And that will be enough for now. That will be fine. But in 6, 12, 18 months' time, when the competitor comes out in him, when Conor McGregor potentially is what Billy walking around with a UFC belt wrapped around his waist, talking how he would have done this to Khabib if he was fit, if he hadn't had 2 years out, Khabib would have got what he's just got. When all that starts going on, Khabib, the little monster inside Khabib will be hungry again. That competitor will start going, this cheeky motherfucker. You know, and it might not be Conor. It might be somebody else. But whoever does it is going to go, man, what a shame Khabib's not here, because I'd have done that to Khabib. What he'd have done, I always said I had the making of beating Khabib. Everyone's going to keep saying it. Everyone's going to keep wheeling that out. And sometime, one day he's going to wake up and the competitor in him is either going to be bigger or he's going to be able to keep suppressing it. That's what we're going to find out about Khabib. As a competitor, as a fighter, I believe one day that fighter, that monster inside him is going to be speaking too loud and we're going to see him come back.
Mm. And part of that same conversation was that Dana said that Conor Dustin is done at 155, which is good news, obviously, for the development of this division. Can't do it at 170.
Conor posted something about 155 as well. He reiterated that with a little video about making 155.
Lightweight incoming. We saw it, baby. We saw it. Mm-hmm. I'm so excited, man. Just allow fans to be there. That's all it is. Because
no, let's clarify. Allow us to be there.
Yeah, but
I love Texas. I love Texas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know what a Conor McGregor fight week will be like without fans, because that kind of makes it for me. The buzz.
Yes.
The buzz is unreal. I can't explain it to you. If you've never been to a Conor McGregor fight week, and you might have your own personal favourite mixed martial artist, then Conor might not be one of them. But it's an experience within itself. Even if you don't like the fella, right? Go to a Conor McGregor fight week. Even if you just want to go and watch him get beat up, whatever. Go to the fight week, because
it's as big as anything.
It is.
Honestly, in 20 years of covering fight sports, I've been lucky enough to be a bit Mayweather, Tyson Fury, Prince Nazim, Collins, Ben. Like, I've been to monster fights on both continents. Conor McGregor stands up against any of them. A Conor McGregor fight week and fight night is as big as any of those guys. It's as big as Naz. It's as big as Mayweather. It feels as big as anything.
Yeah.
It's the biggest thing we've ever had in the UFC.
Well, the biggest comparison that we can maybe give it is because we literally had a juxtaposition, didn't we, at the start of the year. January, Conor McGregor, Cowboy Cerrone, Vegas. Rocked up, Conor McGregor fight week. This is off the back of that big layoff, and it was mint. The month after, 3 weeks later, we were back in Vegas for the heavyweight championship of the world, and they were equal. Think about that. The heavyweight championship of the world in the world of boxing, Wilder, Fury, the rematch, the buzz, all that was just as hyped. Well, you expect that to be hyped because it's the boxing heavyweight championship of the world. But McGregor against Cerrone, a fight that everybody expected him to win, was on a par with that. That's where we're at. You had direct comparisons at the start of this year. That's how big it is. So if you get an opportunity, get to Texas, because that's where we might be going. Everybody's setting up residency in Texas, aren't they? Woo-hoo! Just waiting for Conor. Yeah. Waiting for Conor to rock up.
Exactly.
Nah, good times ahead, man. Good times ahead. Shall we look ahead to this week? Oh, hang on. I'll tell you what we've not done. Bellator. Got to give you a round of applause, Bellator. Right? Because I know I slag it off with shit fights that you're constantly churning out. This week, I actually set my planner to watch a Bellator fight. I thought, everybody, Jesus. If you've listened to this show for the last 4 years, when Musasi was in the UFC, you knew how high I was on the guy. I was disappointed that he left the UFC and went over to Bellator. I thought, oh, for fuck's sake, why are you doing that? Anyway, him against Lima. I was hyped, man. I was in on the train. I thought, please be on the TV first and foremost, Bellator. Don't let me down. So I flicked through the planner, sees it there at midnight on Sky Sports. I thought, Bobby, fucking Dazzler. Bang. There you go. So I set myself a little reminder to watch the fight. And I've got to say, Gegard Mousasi is wasted in Bellator. He is, man. He's absolutely wasted in there. What are you doing? What are you doing beating these dudes up, man? Get back into the UFC, because that's where I need to see you rocking and rolling. He's a sensational mixed martial artist. The middleweight division in the UFC is lit. Mousasi will be a wonderful, wonderful addition. Get your ass back over here, Gegard. Stop fucking about.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. He was a top contender in the UFC, but listen, he decided that it was going to be a better decision for him to go over to Bellator. And I think this is the second time he's been Bellator middleweight champion as well. He won it and then lost it. And then obviously he fought Lima, who was moving up from welterweight to try and become a double weight champ at the weekend to win the world back. But unfortunately, McGregor, we're just never going to know, are we? Because he never got to the top of the tree. That opportunity never came along in the UFC. He never had that one decisive win in the UFC, did he? Where we all went, fucking Gegard's got to get the next title shot.
Yeah.
He was just on the cusp of it. One more big win and he'd have got his middleweight title
shot. Well, if you remember in 2016, that famous night for Bisping against Silva, that was supposed to be Gegard Mousasi.
That's right.
Mousasi against Bisping is what it was supposed to be. And this whole narrative could be very, very different if that fight would have gone ahead.
No shit. No shit.
Yeah. Get yourself back to the UFC, Gegard. I'm looking forward to... You beat up some decent dudes. This weekend, light heavyweights, man. On, off, COVID, pandemic. We're here eventually. Fingers crossed. Cross all your fingers and your toes for Thiago Santos against Glover Teixeira. Glover Teixeira on his little Indian summer at the moment. What's going on with Glover? Where's this come from? Taking on Thiago Santos.
He's about 60, isn't he?
65, I think he is. taking on Thiago Santos this weekend. It's a hell of a fight. And as we were saying a moment or two ago, yes, we know that Izzy would be next for Jan Blachowicz. But off the back of that, you would think that the number one contender is coming from this fight.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, who doesn't want to see Glover Teixeira put himself back in the frame at the age of 65? It'd be absolutely fucking mental.
Can I just say,
to do that?
He's not 65, just in case people are now Wikipedia-ing him. He's not.
Him and Thiago Santos will just slug it out. Definitely isn't going five rounds. Fucking no way. And Santos, of course, you know, lost that split decision to John Jones in his last fight. He's been inactive for a long time, but it's a huge fight, man. It's a huge fight for them both.
He did that on one leg, though, man. He did that on one leg.
Yep. This is a huge fight for them both. It's a huge fight for Brazilian MMA as well.
Yeah. You know,
Brazilian MMA, once again, is a state of flux at the moment. Desperate for genuine contenders in every weight division. I know they've got Figueiredo, but they're desperate for more champions in the UFC, especially when people like Anderson Silva are bowing out. They need people to turn back the clock and to really put them back on the forefront and to become poster boys for Brazilian MMA again. So it's a huge event for Brazilian MMA. Obviously, you've got a side with Santos. You think Santos being the younger guy, and certainly after the performance he did against John Jones, albeit on one leg, you think he's going to be a standout guy. But, man, no one's going to stand up to Glover Teixeira at the moment. The guy's absolutely red hot, as you say. Indian summer, absolutely nothing to lose, everything to gain. All those years of experience coming into play. And he may well old man Thiago Santos this weekend. That's what makes it so fascinating.
In the co-main, the heavyweights, what a wonderful opportunity for Tanner Boza. This is a guy, again, that has taken full advantage of the pandemic. He's shot to, I wouldn't say shot to fame, but a lot of people are more familiar with who Tanner Boza is, especially over the last 6 months. And they're serving up a former champion, Arlovsky, for him. A victory here, man. He becomes a proper contender in the heavyweight division.
Yeah. And, you know, as we know, Arlovsky's damaged goods these days.
That's
anyway.
What I mean.
You
it seems what? Like it's like, there you go.
Setting him up.
There you go, son. They obviously like Tanner Boza because they seem to be handing him one here.
Then again, we said the same thing for Philip Lins last time out, and fucking Arlovsky, what an opportunity for him going in against the former champion. And Arlovsky just old manned him. So it'll be a massive learning experience, however it goes for Tanner Boza. But it's not a great co-main event. It's not a great card, I'll be honest with you.
It's not at all, mate. But this is what we say all the time. This is what we say, right?
It'll still be fucking awesome.
That's it. The stellar names are not there. And if you listen to our boxing show, we've just been getting stuck into it big time, haven't we, about the stellar names not being there on the card. But the point of that rant is that the mismatches as well as not stellar names. This year, you look down the list and you go, there's no fucking big names there. I don't really know who that is. Who's that person? You know what I mean? But I guarantee there will be something at least two or three occasions at the weekend where next week we're going, fucking hell, did you see that? Fucking hell, did you see that? Because of the level of competition. They're evenly matched fights.
Yeah. Absolutely evenly matched fight. The one I'm looking forward to, I like that. Rano Barcelos, the bantamweight. I'm looking forward to that fight just because I think he's a little superstar Barcelos. He's taken on Khalid Taha, which is the guy who he fought Nadir Amani. He lost to Nadir Amani, which doesn't bode too well for him. Not that there's anything wrong with Nad, don't get me wrong, but I think Barcelos has got a big future in this bantamweight division. I think this would be an opportunity for him to look good and in style. Likewise, I think Claudia Gadea as well. You know, this is a big opportunity for her to really start pushing on in this strawweight division and, again, get another win. That was a big win over Angela Hill last time out. And if she can build on that, she can put herself right in the frame. But I think girl she's fighting is undefeated. Zionan, the Chinese girl, I'm sure she's undefeated in MMA. She's certainly undefeated in the UFC. So that's a cracking fight to kick off that main card as well.
We get a rest after this week with the UFC because they're having a week off, aren't they? They're not back till the 21st for UFC 255.
We were supposed to have two Brits on this card, weren't we? And none of them fighting now. Jack Shaw was supposed to be on this card. And Arnold Allen was supposed to be on this card and neither of them on there now.
Allen's fight fell off.
Jack Shaw got injured, I think. I don't know about the Jack Shaw one,
but Arnold Allen's fight fell off. And fair play to him. This is what I like, right? It's good that you just brought him up, actually. We're constantly talking about fighters taking ownership of their own career. Arnold Allen is one of those guys who's brilliant in the octagon. Doesn't necessarily rock it on the mic. Doesn't necessarily create the waves, does he? Away from the octagon in order to get not just the British fan base, but the American fan base invested in what he's doing and wanting to see him fight. He's gone on social media this week. He's gone straight for Edson Barboza. Fucking sound, man. Absolutely sound. My fight's fallen off. I need a knock. Barboza, do you fancy it? That's the attitude I like, man. Fingers crossed he can keep that going at it. Keep chirping away. Keep nipping away at that because that's the type of level of opponent that he needs in order to break through properly with the American audience and obviously the South American audience.
Yeah, well, as you say, he's coming off wins over Gil Melendez, you know, former Scrap Pack legend, Nick Lentz. He was supposed to be fighting Jeremy Stevens here. He is in the top 10 of these featherweight rankings as well. You know, he's ranked number 9, I think he is now. So he really does need to kick on and get an opportunity. And looking above is the only way. You know, you've got to look at the guys who are above you in the rankings or big names like Edson Barboza.
Yeah.
It's just a shame, really, now that was so late. Because it wasn't like this week Jeremy Stevens pulled out. It was a couple of weeks ago. I'm quite concerned that they haven't been able to get anybody in. I'm quite, you know... Hopefully he gets a fight, don't get me wrong. Hopefully we just see Arnold Allen in action this weekend because he just needs to stay busy, of course. But bringing someone in who won on Dana White's Contender Series last month to take on a top 10 guy like Arnold Allen isn't really going to do us anything. So hopefully it's because they're trying to get a, you know, someone higher up the rankings to take the fight. But yeah, man, it's a bit heartbreaking that we were going to have two Brits and at the moment we've got no Brits.
Thank you very much for listening to us. Been an absolute pleasure. Once again, you can get us on iTunes. Fight Disciples is what you're looking for. FightDisciples.com is our website for everything else that we do. Social media, beer selling, and obviously podcasts, all available for you there. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're sticking more content up there on a day-by-day, week-by-week basis. So get yourself stuck in. And as I said at the start of this show, go to BT Sports UFC page as well. Because we're making more videos for him this week. So there'll be some stuff up there for you to go and get involved with. Talking about lightweights and goats and various things like that. All right. So thank you very much for listening to us. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, subscribe via iTunes.